This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. You're having a fine day. All is well. Life is good. The future looks bright. Then suddenly, an elephant sits on your chest. Why didn't you see that coming? Let's talk with a board-certified cardiologist about heart disease and hope, two concepts that for many seem impossible to blend. Dr. Markham, someone recently posted a question on the HeartWiseMinistries.org website asking you how you make a diagnosis when it comes to coronary disease. Let's talk about that. What's the first thing you start looking for as you hunt for the elephant?
I like that you said elephant, Charles. And in fact, we have a little device here I'd like to hand to you and see. What do you think this is, Charles?
Well, at first I thought it was a pin, but it opens up. Okay.
Yeah, and if you look in one end, it's a telescope.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And if you look in the other end, it's a microscope.
Well, it certainly is.
And when it comes to coronary disease, you know, we want to see that big elephant in the room. We want to use the telescope because
yes.
If we look at the microscope, sometimes we won't know what part of the elephant we're seeing.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because modern science, something tells me they're looking at the little tiny picture here.
Yes. They're not looking at the big picture.
Right.
You know, we have lots of great technology and lots of things we can do if you're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
But we're not focusing on the prevention of the disease. And we've talked about heart attacks before, that almost everything that we do to prevent heart attacks also treats heart attacks if you've had one.
Yes.
And that's very important. So we talked about the diagnosis, and I have a lot of people that come to me that they feel well, and they say, listen, I want to do everything I can to lower the risk of heart attacks and coronary artery disease, which is more important because that's before you have the heart attack.
Right, exactly.
So I assume that when someone comes in, that the elephant's in the room, since it's so common in our society. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about the things that lead up to it. So I ask them about their genetics. I ask them about the food they're eating. I ask them if they have risk factors like smoking, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, which are all markers of stress and other diseases that we've talked
about. In other words, we're leading that elephant around with a leash when we're doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's there with us. Okay.
And I tell them, I said, if you don't have these things, that means things are, you know, at least stable, but that doesn't mean you don't have the disease. And we want to reverse the disease. And if you have little plaques, we want to change that and stabilize that by these simple things.
Yeah.
And I really get back to the biblical prescriptions. You know, we want to eat a whole food, plant-based diet. Very important. Get fats out of the diet. We want to tell people to exercise and be moving. And, you know, one of the interesting things is you don't have to necessarily have an exercise program, but if you can get out of your seat every hour and at least walk around, there's some benefit.
Sure.
Because we were never made to sit all day long. That puts stress on a body. The blood doesn't flow as good. All sorts of stressors happen when we sit all day. We were designed to move around. So if a person doesn't have symptoms, I focus them on those type of things. And then we talk about stress. You know, a lot of people have stress out there that they don't even know about. The stress that comes from not drinking enough water, the stress that comes from chronic pain, the stress that comes from having guilt, from having all of these things in our life, or worry about things, you know, all of these things cause the stress chemistry to go up that increases your risk of having heart problems.
Make the connection there. Make sure we understand that. Stress, guilt, fear. What is it doing physically to you?
Well, we weren't made to have these things in our lives.
Right.
And as we do this, it turns on the stress chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand fully the stress chemistry, but chemicals like adrenaline, norepinephrine, cortisol, the cytokines, all these negative things that are great if a train's bearing down us and we have to move quick.
Yes.
But stress chemical long term, day in, day out, year in, year out, if we can't control that stress chemistry, if we don't balance it out by something we do, then guess what? It can cause problems
Constricting. It's constricting.
It can constrict. It can cause inflammation in the blood vessels.
Yeah.
It can lead us to other habits. And we're just understanding little bits about how our society and the way we live damages. Did you know that I could make the argument that too much media raises the risk of you having coronary disease?
I can believe that. I watch the news every once in a while. I can't take very much of that.
Yeah, we were never designed to see 10,000 people killed. Oh. We were never designed to live other people's lives. We were designed to be creative and not to be entertained. And as we do these things, there's chemical changes in our body.
Why do we want to watch these reality programs where people are just mad at each other and angry and vengeful and crying and doing... Why do we want to watch that kind of stuff? Because we have an emotional attachment to what's going on, and we have some of the same problems inside of us that they have when they have the actual problem going on. We're just observers.
Well, the marketing's pretty slick, Charles. They say this is the coolest thing to market, and before long it becomes a habit.
Why can't we see a show where people just love each other and are kind to each other and are nice to each other? Why can't we just do that? Oh, wait a minute. That's supposed to be our lives. We're supposed to be that movie. We're supposed to be that reality program.
And I really think a lot of our system in coronary disease is not doing necessarily what's right, but doing what's the easiest and things that can make some money. And those type of elements are out there. And if you're being honest about things, you have to admit, you know, in coronary disease, we're not fixing the problem. We're just treating the symptoms. So the first thing I do when I talk to someone that comes in is I look at all these other stressors. Then the next thing I want to do is I want to know if they're having active symptoms of disease. And I can just ask them questions. When you walk up a hill, are you having a funny feeling above your waist that's normally shouldn't be there? And does it go away when you stop? Because remember, heart messes up when it's doing things.
Yes.
Okay. And if it does pretty good, I can say, well, maybe you don't have active symptoms. So, you know, we just can work on these other factors.
Yeah.
If they're having active symptoms or I can't tell, then it's time for more testing. And a lot of people will come in and say, yeah, I have some pain. Sometimes it's walking. Sometimes it's not. I have a funny feeling here. I said, well, I can't really tell. Let's do some testing. And the different types of tests we can do is we can do an EKG. That gives me some information. We can walk you on a treadmill, and we can look at the EKG. We can look at some imaging. In some cases, I can do an angiogram. We actually put up dye inside the arteries to see if there's bad blockages. Nowadays, we can look at CAT scans to tell if people have certain disease in our bodies. So we have lots of ways to look to see if we have active disease. And if we do have active disease, then we have lots of modern medicine techniques to help the symptoms. We have stents, we have bypasses, we have lots of medicines. But our goal as a society should not be putting out the fire. Our goal should be not letting the fire start in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our goal. And that's what I want to emphasize right now. So if we're stable in our hearts, we want to keep it that way. So that's some of the ways we diagnose. And that's sort of my approach when they come into the office. And I love it when a patient's coming in just because they want to learn more about the heart, when they want to learn more about these hidden stressors. And I think that we can make some logical conclusions of all these things. And the evidence now there that all these many factors contribute to coronary disease.
Yes.
It's just not one thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's, well, it's only diabetes. Well, no, diabetes damages the blood vessels through the chemicals, the insulin, the glucose, but it's not the sole cause. High blood pressure, yes, that damages the artery. But the key thing is, well, what causes diabetes? What causes hypertension? What causes high cholesterol? You know, and it all comes back down to genetics, the things we put in the body, the stress we have, and how it works with our genetics. It comes back to the same themes, Charles, and I think that's very, very interesting.
That is very important, and I like what you're saying here, because you're telling us that in spite of the fact that we have genetics, in spite of the fact that we've done something bad to our body, in spite of the fact we've had a bad diet, it's not too late. If we're alive and breathing, it's not too late. We can make some changes and we can bring about healing into our lives, but we have to be careful how we do that and realize that some of the areas that modern medicine is telling us doesn't bring us the healing.
Right.
It gets us through the day.
And you know what's so important about talking about it, since this is one of the leading causes of death
the
world,
you
know, we can help save someone's life.
Okay.
We can help improve someone's life. But the principles that treat vascular disease, coronary disease, treats other diseases as well.
Yeah.
These same principles help deal with mental illnesses, treats diabetes. These same principles that we talk about preventing heart disease helps prevent cancer, helps prevent inflammation in the body. And we can see the symmetry and how God had it all planned, you know, and it's just so remarkable that these things that affect the entire chemistry can help the entire body, and it's just not about silver bullets.
Now, here's a question from Heartwise Ministries. Men and women are different, and I'm so glad they are. Men and women are different, and why are men and women heart diseases so different? Are they different, and how? I mean, this person must know that they are.
Yeah, women and men have different symptoms of heart disease, and it's because we are designed differently. The women's brains are differently than the men's brain.
Boy,
the anatomy is different. Even though we have the same parts, it's the composition of the parts. You know, they have more of certain chemicals that we do, and we have more testosterone. They have more estrogen. Our brains work differently. You know, they have one side of the brain that's more developed than the other side. And as effect of this, the anatomy is also different, and the way they feel things are different. A woman's symptoms tend to be what we call atypical. It's because of the anatomy, the chemicals, and they might come in more short of breath rather than having chest pain. They might have different symptoms. Their arteries tend to be smaller. So their arteries, the traditional treatment, sometimes it doesn't work on a woman as much as a man.
Okay.
So women have to be very attuned to their bodies. And unfortunately, most of the studies that have been done on men and not women. So women, they haven't been included in the studies where we get all of our data, but a lot of women are being treated by men. And men don't listen very well for symptoms. You know, oh, she's complaining of everything in the world. I don't know, you know, but they have to be very attuned.
Yes.
Women have heart disease at high rates because they have some of the same problems men do. We want to intervene early.
Yes.
So if you're a woman out there and you're having some type of symptom that you can't explain, especially if it's above the waist, especially if it gets worse when you do something, get to see somebody that can have that evaluated because that might be a symptom of coronary disease that is active.
Okay.
And that's very important, but there's a big difference and there's a big bias, I think, in the literature because we haven't done all the study on women. Men are treating women and not women. I think women cardiologists are much more attuned to a woman than a man because, you know, we think, we feel, have you heard about that book, Women are for Venus and men's are for Mars? There are big differences in us and there's differences in our health. There's difference in our chemical compositions. And these have to be adjusted for not only in our studies, but how we evaluate. And a woman, we have to, you know, I'm very serious about taking them seriously about their complaints, listening to them the best I can. I think women are better listeners than men, Charles, but you're a pretty good listener.
Well, thank you very much. I guess what I'm trying to say is if you're talking to a woman in your office, what do you say different? I mean, how do you approach that different?
I'll listen to them. I will lead them. I said, listen, you know, do you have anything funny that happens when you do things? And if the answer is yes, even though it doesn't quite sound
and
like
it may be different from what happens to a man. Okay.
Yeah, I'll investigate it a little bit more. I won't let something go without investigating it. If she thinks it's important, I think it's important. And then, of course, do all these other things to lower the risk that we've already talked about.
HeartWise with Charles Mills is brought to you by supporters of HeartWise Ministries. We are so grateful to be able to follow Christ's example of caring for others' physical needs and then encouraging them to experience a restorative relationship with our Heavenly Father. God intended for life on earth to be immeasurably better than the world we live in today, and He wants to restore His vision for this world one heart at a time. Consider becoming a HeartWise partner and help others catch the vision of what Christ wants to do in their hearts today by visiting us online at heartwiseministries.org.
Talking about heart disease, and sometimes you have to look at the big picture, like with the telescope. Sometimes you have to look at the little picture, like the microscope. And Dr. Markham, we're looking at the big picture here of someone who says that they had heart attack-like symptoms last year. How do they know if it was a heart attack?
Yeah, and people come to the office all the time wanting to know whether they've had a heart attack.
Yeah.
They had a symptom maybe, and we can do some tests to tell that.
Yeah.
One of the tests we can do is we can do a sound wave test of the heart to see if all the heart's beating correctly. Heart attack means the part of the heart has died.
Yes.
It's not working. So we can look at a sound wave test, and if all the heart's moving, I can tell them they haven't had a heart attack.
But if one part is just sitting there and not doing anything,
they've had a heart attack.
All right, okay.
And sometimes I can look at the EKG. and tell them if they've had a heart attack. We have nuclear material that will only go into living heart that we can tell if they've had a heart attack. So there's lots of different ways with modern technology I can tell whether that symptom they had last week or last year if they've had a heart attack. So, you know, there's lots of technology we can do to let us know. Now, we have some biblical technology you'd like to share with us as well.
I love biblical technology. It is my favorite. It is Matthew 11:28, and we've talked about this on the program. One of the best treatments and prevention of heart attack is something called rest. Here we go. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Why is rest so important that God said that he wants to give it to us?
We all know if you broke your arm throwing fastballs, you wouldn't keep throwing fastballs. Yes, you would rest it. There is scientific evidence that there's healing that comes from rest. Mm. And let's think about this. In that first part of the text, Charles, it talks a lot about what I would describe as stress.
Yes.
All your worry, the mental stress especially. And then at the end, it gives the solution to stress, and that's rest. So God gave us rest as a way of dealing with stress, as a treatment for stress is rest. We've talked about all these stressors.
Right.
Well, one of the treatments is rest, to rest the body. How many people really understand how to rest? The God of the universe, you know, has a rest one day a week, teaches us how to rest at night. It's very important that we do that well. We now know that people that know how to rest well, that have a rest one day a week, that rest well at night, guess what happens to the stress chemistry? It gets better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it improves. The adrenaline level, the cortisol level, the inflammation comes down. So one of the treatments for stress is rest. And God knew this in his infinite wisdom. He says, when you're stressed, come to me and I will give you rest. So worship is rest when it's done in God.
Okay.
So we have, you know, the treatment for stress might be a Sabbath rest.
Yes.
A treatment for stress might be a nightly rest. So a treatment for that, and it changes the chemistry, even though we don't understand all the specific mechanisms.
Whatever it takes to change the chemistry for the good, that was what we call rest.
Right. But God says, come unto me. So there's something about coming to God that is in the process of resting. When we come to God, he gives us that peace, that understanding, turns down these chemistries. He gives us that rest, which negates some of all that stress that's coming on our body all the time. So when a person comes to me stressed out, I said, listen, go to God, rest in him, learn how to rest one day a week, learn how to rest in the nights. There's some treatment in that, in worshiping and all of this. So that's a great test. It's a great treatment. It's a great biblical technology.
Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will change your chemistry.
And I will help lower the risk of heart attacks.
I will help treat
your heart attacks.
All right.
I will help all these things.
Okay. Here's a question from heartwiseministries.org. This is great stuff. This is life-saving stuff.
Okay.
What is the difference between, I've heard this said angina or angina.
Yeah, angina.
Angina. Between angina and chest pain.
Okay. Well, chest pain, many things can cause chest pain, including a heart attack. You know, it might be that you pulled a muscle. And if I press on it and you go, ow, it hurts, I'm going to say that was a muscle. If you eat some food and some acid comes up, I'm going to say, you know, that's related to acid reflux.
It's in the area of the heart, but it may not necessarily be the heart.
So chest pain can be the heart, but it can be many other things. If you take a deep breath and it hurts, that could be related to the lungs or pleuritis. Now, angina really means that the pain is coming from the heart. So if you walk up a hill, it hurts. You stop and it goes away. That's a characteristic of angina. So angina really means chest pain from the heart, but chest pain in general can be sort of lots of different things can cause it. I saw a lady the other day that had shingles. You know, shingles caused her chest pain. And she thought it was a heart attack and it ended up turning a rash from shingles.
Okay.
Lots of time it's from the stomach. After you eat, you have the pain. You know, that could be the heart, but it could be the stomach as well. If someone hits you in the chest, that's chest pain that's coming from hitting you in the chest. So chest pain, lots of different reasons, including the heart. But angina is more specific, referring to the heart.
If someone hits you hard enough in the chest, can you have a heart attack from that hit?
Yes, you can, but it's very rare. Especially if they hit you over the artery. But you can actually bruise the heart, and we call that a contusion.
Yeah.
We most frequently see contusions of the heart in automobile accidents.
They hit the steering wheel.
Yeah, they hit it so hard that it actually bruises the heart. We do a sound wave test, and we see the heart has been bruised. It's not moving well.
And you have said often on this program that pain that feels like a heart attack is serious. We need to have it looked at. So we should not try to dismiss a pain we have in our chest. Well, it must be a bruising. It must be something else. Go see a doctor, you say.
And I tell people, any symptom above the waist, you need to at least think that, could this be my heart?
Okay.
And a symptom that gets worse when you do things leads me to thinking it's heart. But yet, but what is the definition of a symptom, Charles? That's very important for our audience. Anything that you feel that's not right, we could classify as a symptom.
Okay.
And if I'm having a symptom, things in my body that I don't feel is right, I want to investigate that, find out what it is, at least make sure it's nothing deadly like a heart attack. At least have that looked at, because, you know, we want that to be evaluated right away, because time is very important if you're having chest pain.
All right. Okay. Very good. Another question from heartwiseministries.org. I had a corporate physical and they did a calcium score. What does that tell you?
Yeah, a lot of people are having these corporate physicals. And, and to me, honestly, a calcium is just another measurement of risk. You know, the higher the calcium score, the more likely you have coronary disease, the higher the chance it raises your risk of a heart attack. But I can pretty much tell that just by talking to someone.
How do you do that?
Well, if a person says, I don't eat well, I'm under lots of stress, I can pretty much tell them that they have a high chance of having heart disease. And, you know, whether they have a high calcium score, the treatment's pretty much the same.
I mean, high calcium, they drink too much milk? Where's this calcium
come from? Calcium comes from calcifications in the arteries of the heart.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You know, calcifications, oxidation is a process that creates calcium. But I treat everyone the same unless they're having symptoms.
Yes.
You know, I want to put the person with a high calcium score on a whole food plant-based diet. I want to lower the stress. I want to make sure their blood pressure, they don't have diabetes, you know, things of that nature. Make sure their cholesterol is really good. Those are the things I want to do if they have a high calcium score. The exact same things I would do if they said, you know, my dad had a heart attack, I don't eat a good diet. Those type of things. So the calcium score is just another tool that we can tell if a person's at a high risk for coronary disease.
Is it possible to have a heart attack without pain?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yeah. And
oh, my goodness.
We can have heart attacks without pain. We mainly see that in people that have diabetes, that their nerves might be damaged. Mm-hmm. We also see that in people that are older. And some women, they have atypical symptoms. But usually, when you ask them, you know, if they've had a heart attack, even if they don't have pain, there's something else that didn't feel right. Extreme fatigue, extreme shortness of breath, a feeling of ill-being. They usually at least describe something that's, quote, not right, that we could describe as a symptom.
We did a show not too long ago, Dr. Markham, on screening, very important topic. And you said that we need to become self-screeners. We need to start learning how to look at our lives and find those things in our lives that are indicators that we are at a high risk for heart disease. What are some of the ways that we can self-screen ourselves that will give us an indication that we might be heading down a rocky road here?
Well, the first thing I would ask people is, are they having feelings above the waist that
symptoms
are abnormal?
Okay, symptoms.
And if they're not sure, go for a walk real fast and see how you feel. And if you
go for a fast walk,
and see how you feel. If everything sort of feels pretty good, then chances are you don't have active disease.
Okay. All right.
Then the next thing I would look at is risk. You know, are you a person that has had a family history that would put you at genetic risk? Do you eat a poor diet?
When you say poor diet on this program to these people listening right here, what do you mean by a poor diet?
Well, a diet that's sort of high in fat, high in protein. Remember, God made us to eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains.
Right.
And the more things we eat from animals, whether that be eggs, cheese, milk, all those products, the dairy products, all of those things raise our risk of having heart disease. Not only that, but, you know, diet would include water, the things we drink. That are all what a lot of people, you know, processed foods are going to raise our risk. And a lot of people don't even realize that because we're taught that this is good or this is good.
Yes.
So I tell them, no, the literature says this is not good. They say, oh, we want to go to a low-fat diet. Well, low-fat's in the right direction, but it's not the direction to go. You know, so I will try to move my patients to a whole food, plant-based diet. So try to eat real foods as a cornerstone from good nutrition. What I've told people is that as they move to eating healthier, the food that used to taste good doesn't taste as good. And they start finding substitutes and their whole brain chemistry changes.
Well, we've certainly learned important things about our health today, about our hearts. And Dr. Markham, thank you so much for sharing with us today. These are words of wisdom and guidance. We appreciate that. And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with cardiologist and founder director of Heartwise Ministries, Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.